kindness. Kindness. I want us to reflect for these moments on this word, kindness. It's not a word we would think to be in the forefront in a political season and an election season and everything that our country is experiencing, important conversations and discussions. But kindness, where is the word kindness in our lives right now? Can you remember a time when somebody showed you kindness? I'm remembering my friend Ed Mock from Panguitch, Utah, and I've shared this story, some version of it before, but it bears remembering, at least in my own life. But here I am on my way with my wife to California 16 years ago. Our Honda breaks down just outside of Bryce Canyon, and we end up in the hands of Ed Mock, owner of the Royal Express Transmission in Panguitch, Utah. Ed is a slick East Coast guy, and I know for sure when I walk into his shop, I'm done for. I mean, I'm gonna get raked over the coals here. I'm done. He's got me. I'm in the middle of nowhere. Car's broken down. This one's gonna hurt. So we spend the whole week waiting for this transmission to come from Texas. And there's tense conversations that ensue. And it's about a full week later as we're waiting that I get a call in our motel room, the Color Country Motel in Utah. And it's Ed. And he says, "Hey, Joel." I said, "Yeah." He says, "What are you doing right now?" I said, "I'm just hanging out in my motel room, Ed, you know." And he says, "Well, I have a friend who's a pilot. And I wonder if you and your wife want to go up in a plane ride over Bryce Canyon today." Well, Ed remembered that we wanted to see Bryce Canyon. And you would think that wisdom would have won the day. I mean, a plane trip with a pilot that we've never flown with. And instead I say, "Okay, let's go for it." And so we go up over Bryce Canyon. But you see, here was Ed, a seemingly heartless mechanic in the middle of Utah, East Coast character, tough and edgy, and here he was displaying a little bit of kindness to us in the Utah desert. It was bizarre, it was unusual, it was unexpected, but here it came in the midst of the desert, a little bit of kindness sprung forth. And as we've looked at Ruth over these last few weeks, and as I've reflected this week, this word kindness, I think, is a theme throughout Ruth. And I want to just walk us through again to see how God's kindness shines forth in this story. If you would turn in your scriptures to Ruth chapter 4, 13 through 17, and we'll read God's word together. "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without next of kin,'" or that word could be redeemer. He's not left you without a redeemer. "'He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him.' Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom, and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, 'A son has been born to Naomi.' They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David." And we're going to do something a little different. And let me just say, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We don't want to miss that. But let me just say that we're going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to walk through a piece of artwork by John August Swanson. John is a artist here in Los Angeles, born in 1938, and he has a studio here in Los Angeles. And he has this great way of storytelling through his art. He gets this, he says, from his Mexican mother and his Swedish father. And so it's very clear, it's very easy to understand. And so this is a silk screen that you'll see on your screen, completed in 1991. And I want us just to go through it. You'll see in its entirety, it's 12 panels, and we're just gonna walk through very briefly each certain panel here. But we've read over these last few weeks that this is taking place in the day of Judges, that there's this famine in the land, and Elimelech and Naomi move from Bethlehem and Judah to Moab. At their new home in Moab, their sons marry, and Orpah and Ruth are now part of Naomi's family. And as the years progress, Elimelech grows older, and he ends up dying there in Moab. And then 10 years later, Ruth and Orpah's husbands die. And you'll see in this first frame here, at the top left, as Mr. Swanson writes, just based on scripture, Naomi and her two daughters-in-law have lost and buried their husbands. They leave the land of Moab. And what strikes me here about this story is that there's the grief that these women are experiencing in this moment. Naomi, who has lost her lifelong partner, the one she has loved, Elimelech has now died. And Ruth and Orpah, 10 years later, they lose their husbands. And this scene just depicts these three women, this community of these three women just having to stick together to make it through their grief, just sticking together. And I think that's so striking in this first panel that Mr. Swanson has designed here. And we move on to the second frame. It says, Naomi urges her two daughters-in-law to return to their parents' homes as Naomi returns to the land of Judah. And so Ruth and Orpah have this choice to return to their parents. Naomi says, essentially, I don't have anything I can give you. I have nothing I can offer you. I'm a widow. I have no land. I have no income to give you. So go be with your parents. And you see these two women. Orpah kisses Naomi and moves away. But you see Naomi, she says, you get a sense of just how hard her heart is in this grief, understandably. But there's this grief and this pain in her heart. And she says this, she says, I have nothing to offer you. It's been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me. She's gone through so much pain and loss in her life that she feels the Lord's hand has turned against her, that the Lord is not for her anymore. And it made me wonder, are you experiencing something? Have you experienced something in your life where it feels like God is just not for you anymore? There's a bitter taste in your mouth when it comes to faith. And this third image depicts the scene in chapter 114 where Orpah decides to return to her family, but you see Ruth, this determination, clinging to Naomi and saying, don't press me to leave. Don't turn me away from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, there I will be buried. Ruth is not going to have it any other way. She is not going to be talked out of this. There's no convincing Ruth here. She's coming with Naomi. And it makes me wonder, in those moments where things are hard in our lives, where faith is difficult, has there been someone that has literally come up to you, put their hand on your shoulder, put their arms around you, and said, you're going to be okay. I'm with you. We're in this together. This fourth image describes Naomi and Ruth returning to the city of Bethlehem where Naomi is from. And it's the beginning of this barley harvest, and the arrival of these two sets the town astir. You can imagine they haven't been there for years. And the town is that Naomi? Is that our old friend? Is that Elimelech's wife? So it causes the town to be astir. And as we get into this middle of this panel, we see that it's a theme of the harvest, a theme of the barley. And so this fifth visual depicts the beginning of chapter 2. It's the beginning of the barley harvest, and Ruth is going out to glean after the reapers. She's collecting the leftover crops that wouldn't have been sold. You see, Naomi and Ruth are in such a hard situation. They're just going out to look for the leftovers, look for the scraps in that field. And it just so happens, as we see in the sixth panel, that as Ruth gleans, she comes to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, Boaz who is a family member of Naomi's. And Boaz happens to come to the field that day, and he asks his servants out there, he says, "Who is this woman Ruth out there?" And the servant tells Ruth, the servant tells Boaz that it's Ruth, that she's come back with her mother-in-law. And he begins to tell Boaz everything that Ruth has done, all the kindness that Ruth has shown to Naomi and clinging to her and walking with her. And so this seventh frame depicts the kindness of Boaz. He tells Ruth, "You don't need to glean in any other field. Keep your eyes on the field that is being reaped and glean there. And if you get thirsty, drink the water that we have." And Swanson at the top of this writes, "Boaz, on finding Ruth is a kinsman of Naomi, offers his fields for her to glean, and she is grateful." You see her just falling down at Boaz's feet. She is grateful. And here we see again this theme of kindness emerging in this biblical text. Boaz showing Ruth kindness. Ruth has shown Naomi kindness. Boaz tells Ruth he knows all that Ruth has done in caring for Naomi since Ruth has lost her husband. And Boaz speaks a blessing to Ruth. And she is touched in her heart. Ruth is touched. And she says, "You have comforted me, and you have spoken kindly to your servant, even though I am not one of your servants." It makes me wonder, when is the last time that someone has shown you unexpected kindness? In frame 8, Ruth brings to Naomi the grains she has gleaned. And Naomi recognizes Boaz as her kinsman, and we begin to see how the kindness of God can break even the hardest shell of our hearts. It begins to crack into Naomi's heart when Ruth tells her the kindness that was shown to her there in the field. Naomi tells Ruth, "Blessed be he by the Lord whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." You see, the hard cracks and the bitterness that Naomi has felt in her own life are beginning to give way to the sweet, sweet song of kindness from the Lord. And this word that comes up throughout this whole scripture text is one of those great Hebrew words. It's great to even say it in a Hebrew type voice, chesed. Hesed, you can say it there. It's one of my favorite words in all of the Old Testament because it's this weighty, rich, lovely word to describe the unfailing love, the loyal love, the never giving up, unfailing devotion of our God with us. His covenant love, his hesed. This is what is being described here in Ruth and Naomi's experience through Boaz. So now Naomi knows that Boaz could really help her family, could really act as this kinsman redeemer, stepping in to buy the parcel of land that Naomi owns. And frame 9 depicts chapter 3. As we heard last week, Naomi tells Ruth to wash and anoint herself and then to present herself as Boaz sleeps at night. And our 10th panel takes us to chapter 3, 6, as Boaz lies on the threshing floor. Ruth asks him to take her as his wife. And Boaz, as we've heard, says, you know, there's another family member that should do this, can do this, but if they won't, I will come in, I will step in. And Boaz then speaks a blessing to her. And he says, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. This last instance of your loyalty is better than the first. He sees the way that Ruth is just acting so graciously towards her mother-in-law, Naomi. And it's warming Boaz's heart as well. This whole story is like kindness begetting kindness. It's this mutual reaction happening within this story of God's love. And here again in chapter 3:10, the word for loyalty is this word for kindness, hesed, the covenant kindness of God for his people. As we come to the last two panels, we find ourselves in chapter 4, the verses we read today in the 11th panel. Boaz meets his relative at the city gate, and the kinsman is there to buy the parcel of land, and they exchange that, and Boaz steps in. The man who was supposed to do that says, I can't do it. It's going to hurt my family too much. I can't do it. So Boaz steps in as the kinsman redeemer. And then finally, in this last panel, it's this beautiful depiction of redemption and the covenant love of God. We see the kinsman before 10 elders. He offers his right to Boaz. Ruth and Boaz marry, but their son Obed, Ruth and Boaz marry, and they have Obed. And the son is handed to Naomi. Naomi, this one who was bitter, who was struggling, and she receives this child. And you see here that Naomi's life, it hasn't become so cold and bleak. The hard edges of her life haven't become so razor sharp where this kindness of God can't break into. And she experiences joy. I mean, joy that anyone would feel at the birth of a new child. Here is Naomi, who has not been left without a redeemer. And it's this beautiful arc of this whole story. Four chapters, simple story, simple artwork. But it lands us firmly in this theme and this idea of the covenant kindness of God. That sometimes it's disguised in difficult circumstances. Many times it's mediated through the kindness of others to us. And here we are, left with this portrait of Naomi receiving this. And as I've been reflecting on this story, I've just wondered, God, are there places in my own heart? Are there places in the way that I experience you that feel that there's some razor edges, there's some hard edges in my own heart where the terrain is hard? Maybe that's just between the Lord and I, maybe that's between people that I know, or there's hard edges. And Jesus says, you know, Joel, I want my kindness to come into your heart. I want my kindness to break that shell, to break those hard edges. And you see that God, he mediated his love to us through Jesus Christ. This whole story points us forward to Jesus Christ. You see, Obed was the father of Jesse the father of David. And so the lineage goes forth of our Savior, Jesus. God the Father mediating his love, his fatherly love to you and to me through Jesus Christ. It says Romans 5:8, but God proves his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely now that we have been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God. You see, the kindness of our Father is mediated through Jesus Christ to each one of us. It's the invitation that we have into the Father's heart through Jesus, this covenant kindness through Jesus. It's mediated through Jesus Christ in our lives, and it's often mediated through the lives of others. It comes to us through the lives of others. I was traveling with my family over the past month, and in my hometown, you know, we were there, and it's a small enough town where you can ride your bikes downtown, and we were having coffee, my wife and I, and we walked into a little shop, and it was a shop my wife wanted to check out, and so we end up talking to this woman behind the counter, and she just begins to open up about her family and her son, who's a young adult, who's kind of walked away from the faith, those hard edges built up around his life, and so we're just having this lovely conversation, and there's no one in the store, so we offered, can we just pray for your son? If anybody comes in, we'll stop. And so we prayed for this woman and her family, and my wife had picked out a few things there, nothing, you know, just some small items, and I happened to forget my card at home. This is a great strategy for shopping when you forget your credit card. But my wife had to come back to the shop and pay for this. And so when she came back in, the woman behind the counter had everything packaged up, this little bow at the top. And she said, "Here." And you know, it was just this simple act. She said, "You know, my husband and I wanted to do this for you. We just wanted you to have this today." It turns out that she had put two and two together, that her husband had actually worked with my wife's brother at a Christian television station. But this kind of unusual, unexpected circumstance of someone from behind a counter showing us in a very simple way the kindness of God in a very ordinary moment of life. And I wonder, as we are changed by the kindness of God in our lives, that this is the song we sing, that this is the story that we live, that as we are changed, what simple word, what simple action can you give to others? Those closest to you, those in our church community, as we are changed by the kindness of God, how can we show the kindness of God to one another? How sweet that is in the family of God, to be a family that is mediating the kindness of God to one another through a word, through an action. And I wonder how that might just change the terrain of our lives. How that might just even change the terrain of our church, how a church living out that kindness in the midst of a hard, what can be a hard-edged city sometimes, how that would change even the terrain of a city for a church to be living out the kindness of God. You see, the kindness of God, it comes sometimes in a Utah desert. It comes sometimes in a local store in the most ordinary of ways. And what a joy it is when it shows up in our lives and we then give this kindness to others. How sweet that is. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has shown us so much loving kindness in our lives. Thank you for the covenant that we have with you. God, we pray that we would be people who are shaped and changed by your grace and your kindness. And God, that as we allow our hearts to be formed by your goodness, God, that we would then open our hands in kindness to others, giving a kind word, a kind action. And so we pray that we would be people who would embody your kindness to one another. And we pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.